back to the program. It's our national hour where Sammy came this close to being fined.
Capitals, why?
For not switching over.
Panic.
Panic.
Wish we could show the people our wardrobe over there of jerseys.
Okay, like, you went Washington Capitals.
I haven't had it up, I don't think, for a show. I hanged it terribly. Hung it terribly.
Ovi's in. We got the great chase going on. Kip, pay attention. He just scored another empty netter. This is a big jersey.
What is that, like,
for us?
100 empty netters he's had?
He has so many this year. It's got to be a third of his goal.
He's trying to pass a goalie a few times, though, to be fair.
Oh, yeah. Boys. No, I'm not.
So there's some people that have a problem with him breaking the record only on empty netters, but give the Washington Capitals credit for putting him in a position where they have to pull their goalie.
Yeah, they win, like, all the time.
They win all the time. They're protecting leads. And
put a bad defensive player out there in those spots because he can shoot.
In today's world where it doesn't matter whether you're up 1, 2, or 3, or 4 goals, you're still going to pull the goalie. Like, it's still weird to me to see a team just not quietly go away with, like, it's over. Like,
two teams.
You scored an empty net goal. It's over.
Nope. Not anymore. Two teams in the NHL have a 700 winning percentage or higher. Washington and?
Winnipeg.
There you go. Jet stock.
Our Jet stock. Really good stuff.
We are glad everybody's aboard for the next hour. We are live on Sportsnet 650 in Vancouver and Sportsnet 960 in Calgary. This hour of Real Kipper and Bourne brought to you by Bet365. In a few minutes, we'll welcome in Steve Alaquette for his Tuesday contribution to our show. New York Ranger analyst for MSG, CEO Clear Sight Analytics. Always does a great job. Plenty to get into in terms of the goalies and what we saw out of Ullmark last night for the Ottawa Senators.
Awesome.
And it seemed like that was the type of role he was on prior to disappearing just before Four Nations tournament. Mm-hmm. Ottawa gets that out of him. It's a lock.
I said to Sammy before the show, they paid him, what, $8 million this year, right?
I think he got the same contract as Swayman.
Yeah, so
8.25.
Yeah, so you got 8.25. He makes 50 saves last night or whatever the number ends up being, and they win a game against someone competing for playoffs. If they get in by a point, if last night is the difference and it's on the back of Ullmark playing that well, he paid for himself. You know what I mean? Like, you can justify that for sure. He did enough to justify that contract. But didn't he say he's hurt?
Well, he wasn't at practice today. They called up that. What's the...
Oh, you're making this up.
No, that's real.
No, what's the Mirilainen or whatever? They called him up.
Crap. Mirilainen.
Mirilainen. They called him up. So, I don't know. Maybe just a day off.
Kip, thanks for messing with him. No,
doctor,
that's real.
Just doctor day off, not season out.
He did take one of the pills at the end of the game, too. He may just need a... take a knee for a minute here.
Anyways, hopefully he's all right. Because they, like you said, that team, who weren't very good for most of that game, they got filled in by the Red Wings, had a chance to watch a lot of it because the Leafs game didn't start till midnight. Right. But if they get that goaltending and that team with those forwards and they got some good young, like, they're not an easy out for anybody in the playoffs.
Guys,
series.
No, you're right. By the way, the Red Wings are cooked. Yep. Coming up on the Red Wings platers, Carolina, Vegas, Washington, Vegas, Utah, Colorado.
So I got this DM'd to me yesterday, so I'm going to totally throw my boy Troy under the bus if this is wrong. But he said he's a Red Wings guy, does photography for the team, and he texted me this and said that that the 3 seasons in a row with a 6-plus game losing streak to end March, or to start March, ended the last 3 Februarys in a playoff spot just to blow it. So at the end of February... 3 straight years, 6-plus game losing streaks.
They continue to just get not very good draft picks.
So, and if you're wrong on that...
They've been very unlucky.
If you're wrong on that, Troy...
Not on you.
Not my fault.
And it does seem like Dylan Cousins has a nice feel...
What a start.
As a behind Stützle and between Pinto.
Yeah. Right? Danny shoots one in and Brady's excited. The team wins and the crowd's electric and they cheer for him. Great start for Cousins.
Okay, it's also a great start to our show, having our next guest, Steve Alaquette, join us as we talk off the top Ottawa Senators and Ullmark. And I thought these guys were pulling my leg that he, I don't know, might have disappeared today at practice.
Oh.
Sammy, What, just a day off, right? Is that what they're calling it officially?
So. Yeah. I don't know. I haven't heard from him, but he was not on the ice.
Regardless, Valley, it seems like it's a no-brainer for the Ottawa Senators. If this guy can stay healthy and perform like he did last night, they will be in the playoffs.
Well, if we can count on that, you know, I think this guy could go missing at any moment.
Apparently.
I'm not buying. I want to buy on Ottawa because I think they've played a great brand of hockey. They've defended well enough to be able to be in. That was the one thing that stood out with this club since the very beginning of the season. They've defended better than everybody that is beneath them in the standings. They should be there, but they haven't had the quality of consistency in net. And they've had big performances, but you know how it is, guys. You can't be a starting goalie in the NHL if you can't play a consistent brand, if you can't stay healthy, if you can't be counted on. I hope... Was that a Sammy rumor, or did he just read that on Twitter? Because, I mean, I can't take another one of these. This has been bothering me all year.
He was not at practice today, and they called up Marilainen. So, I don't know what... I mean, maybe they're just giving him a full day off. I don't know. Everybody's looking
for your source, according to whom?
Julian McKenzie, who covers the team.
Zero. There it is.
Yeah, yeah.
That's where we're at, too, which is starting to irk me a little bit, right? Like, the Rangers have their biggest game of the season on Sunday against Columbus, and they don't play Shesterkin in a back-to-back because starting goalies just don't play back-to-backs now. It's ridiculous. You should see Henrik's record. He played 85 back-to-backs. The second game of his back-to-back, his career save percentage was .927.
Oh my God, is that real?
Yeah. Like a guy born.
He's a freak.
He would carry us into the playoffs first amazing. 4 years that he was here, just carried us. And you know what that does for the room? You know it does. It does a lot. And so that one, I don't like it. And you've got to be there in the big games. I don't care if you're told you're not playing. Hank would have strangled the coach.
Yeah.
He would have gone Carlissimo on him if he wasn't starting that game. I've seen it. You know, I've been at this morning stretch and Hank would give me the hairy eyeball.
How about this Rangers team in general this year? So they got 18 games left. They're currently 2 points out of a playoff spot. I got them with a pretty tough schedule remaining, more games away than home. I think they're only playing 4 non-playoff teams left, like 14 playoff teams. What do you make of their odds, Valley?
Well, I think I said a while ago 20%, and I'm still there. You know, I was wavering last week off the shutout against Nashville and the Islanders. And I was like, you know what? These guys, the reason why was because they were defending. Against Ottawa, they gave up 13 high-danger chances. The night before, they gave up 13 high-danger chances. It's simple math. They go in 1 every 3 times. Mm-hmm. You're giving them 4 goals right off the bat when you get up. And it doesn't, like, high-danger chances, guys, they don't discriminate. Like, it doesn't matter what goalie's in the net. You've got to have a super hot night to outperform 13 grade A's. And that's the funny thing about it. It's like, I've said this to you guys before, it's bizarre, but when you look at the NHL, it's like NHL goalies, they just stop high dangers the same. Like everybody's crazy. 1 out of 3,
yeah.
1 out of 3. And the big difference is, you know, I'm watching Anderson the other night, and did you guys see the end of his game? They're up 3-0. He gives up a bad goal from a dead angle, and then he passes it to a guy, and it's like 3-2, and I'm like, what's going on? Yeah. You know, that's the difference, because the guys that are going to push through and have a great playoff, they never allow the low danger. Like, they don't go in. And the mid-danger, they perform over league average. So on mid-danger chances, you perform over, you're at league average on the highs, and the lows never go in. Mm-hmm. And that's what you need from your goaltending. And you know, I just think it's bizarre to me that you don't see Shesterkin in the biggest game of the year. You know, I don't know. Stuff bothers me.
Tough hey, loss.
Quickly, just before we do some context on the Ullmark thing, they're playing in the second half of back-to-back tonight on the road, so potentially just leaving Edmonton at home after saving 50 bucks, maybe. That was got that DM to me from Andrew. So
but this does go with what Valley's saying. Anyways, about bubble wrapping everyone.
Yeah. Just like, some context of the conversation.
You want to go to the game and watch? Come on. Anyway.
So does that leave Columbus wide open?
And you want to be a part of it. You don't want to miss any moments. The room is running itself right now. If you're a good team, the room runs itself. And I'm hopeful that the teams that we see in the playoffs this year that are performing at the highest level are commensurate with that thought, so that it's still a little old school there, and we're not getting ahead of ourselves by bubble wrapping.
So you watch Columbus against the Rangers. Does that leave their spot open now for the taking?
Well, with the Rangers not being able to take it, you're saying?
Yeah.
I mean,
is Columbus legit here?
Doesn't leave it open for Columbus. Yeah, geez, you know, Kipper, it's been a season here. You know, there were like eight players in the lineup Sunday that weren't in the lineup for opening night. You know, like that's how much change there's been. Mm-hmm. And but you know, when I see this team leave a little bit on the table and sacrifice for the team and not have so much risk, they can perform. They have plenty of offense. Their problem is not offense. Their problem is defense. And defense, to me, starts with caring to play defense. And I'm still not seeing it where the guys on this team are all in to get a win.
Looking around this Eastern Conference, the Leafs may very well end up in a 2-3 matchup with someone. Could be Florida. Tell us about Bobrovsky. A guy who seems to have high ceiling, low floor, and tough to know what you're going to get at any given time.
Yeah, you know what, Borny? This is not something we talked about, but, you know, it's something that's on my radar, which is, what does it take for an NHL goalie to go on a run, right? Because we've seen Bobrovsky do it twice, where he's, especially 2 years ago, where he had a very mediocre, below subpar season. And last year, he really had one of his better regular seasons, so it was, you know, a little more on brand with him having a good postseason. So what did he do last year that set him apart in the postseason? It goes back to your comment a few weeks ago, horses for courses, mm-hmm. because if you know how to insulate your goalie against his weaknesses, then you can allow him to believe and have confidence in his own game to grow and play at a high level. Last year in the playoffs, Bobrovsky, he was 5 goals above league average on broken plays, screens, rebounds, everything around the net. He had a really good playoff. And I think a big part of that was because Florida, they changed the way they were playing, and they were the 32nd best team off the rush. So they didn't go off the rush and allow rush back against them. And that's funny to me because it was 2 years, or was it maybe 3 years earlier when they won the President's Trophy, they were the best rush team in the league. So they went from the best rush offense to the trade with Huberdeau, et cetera, Uyghur, and then they brought it back, and they decided that they were not going to play off the rush any longer. But they were also relying on playing in their D zone because they loved their size with their D, and they shut it down in zone. They played dots down really strong and then insulated Bobrovsky with net front. So he goes out and he performs and he can see through screens, and he's the highest performing goalie in those conditions. And I go to Aiden Hill the year before too. Aiden Hill is a really good off the rush goalie when there's a lot of time and space taken away. And if you have a back check that works like Vegas did when they won, 16 breakaways faced, no goals, east to west in the playoffs, 21 east to west chances faced, just 4 goals. But it's not time and space. And there's a big difference there because, you know, we've talked about this. The factors that go into what enhances a scoring chance, if you can play tight, if you can defend, and that's, again, the biggest difference I have here covering the Rangers. They are the worst defensive team in the league. And, you know, it's like we've got Winnipeg tonight, so I'm pulling this one just as a comparable getting ready for the game. Slot area chances against with time and space. So slot area chances where guys have – and time and space, guys, it's a stick length of room where a player can't move left, right, or advance towards the goalie. When that's taken away, as Winnipeg does, you've got the best defensive team in the league that insulates for their goalie. But the bottom 5 teams at not doing that well this year, Pittsburgh, Anaheim, Rangers, Nashville, San Jose. And it's like, you know what it's like, guys. You live in that neighborhood, you've got no shot. And that's why 20% chance for the Rangers to make the playoffs, in my opinion, unless they, and I think you can do it. I think you can tighten it up if you're not cheating too much and you've got a strong F3 and everybody is checking with their legs and they've got good sticks and they're covering for one another.
You're watching and listening to Steve Aliquette, analyst for the New York Rangers, MSG, Clearsight Analytics. One more in the East before we switch it to the West Conference here, and that is that we believe that the Leafs, if they can avoid Bobrovsky or Vasilevsky in the first round, they're going to catch up to them, which leaves Stolarz and Wohl. There seems to be a little bit of a dip in their play lately. Is it non-concerning only when you consider how high they set the bar throughout the regular season?
You know what, Kipper? I was really surprised. The scoring chances weren't that heavy in quality in favor of Colorado the other night when they beat up on Stolarz. Two of his goals were low danger. And here's the thing. Big goalies, right? It's neat that we're on camera because you can see my posture here. But tracking towards the puck to make a save so you can do it consistently, it's almost like imagining that my necktie here is driving towards the puck. And you saw Stolarz, he got beat over his chicken wing twice. And what he was doing was he was in neutral and he was just throwing it at it like this. And he wasn't getting any range up because he wasn't tracking towards the release. Now, what I saw in that game with him and in the two previous games as well, he's getting himself into trouble because he's getting wide before the shot. And when he gets wide, his shoulders come down and then he ends up playing in neutral and he's not tracking towards where the puck is being released from. So he's not bringing the center of it as gravity towards the release. And even a big goalie can play small that way. And you end up going down into your butterfly prematurely when you're moving side to side, when you get too wide, because you're on your inside edges of your skates. And the only thing you can do when the puck carrier is coming and approaching you is go down in the butterfly or try and slide across in the butterfly. You no longer can arrive on your feet. And Stolarz, for the first half of the season before his injury, and even when he first came back, I thought he was really strong with his feet under him, being able to beat the pass on his feet, holding his edges, being able to have a big body posture, and then tracking towards the release. But right now, he's not getting access to those pucks because he's getting too wide before the shot.
That's interesting stuff. Valley, you know, looking at play, we're about a month from playoffs, 5 weeks from playoffs, and everyone's talking about two really loaded divisions where the Atlantic could be like Florida, Tampa Bay, or, you know, could be Colorado, Dallas. But that leaves two other divisions with softer paths. And I wonder if there's a goalie in either the Metro or the Pacific. So I'm looking at Washington, Carolina, New Jersey, and the Pacific. You got LA, Edmonton. Is there a goalie that can take a team on a run that maybe we're not seeing, not thinking of?
You know, I would say out east. When I look out east, who am I thinking about? I'm thinking, it was on the tip of my mind there. Out east. What? Repeat those teams again,
you got
boy.
Carolina, New Jersey, Washington.
No. Washington, I was going to say Logan Thompson.
Okay.
Because he's still playing at a high level. And he hasn't dropped. Like, since January 1st, Logan Thompson is still in the league, like, top five. Where a lot of guys have come down. Like, Hellebuck's actually dropped to 13th and since January 1st. So since January 1st, the top goalies right now performing, and, you know, you'd like to say that looking forward, you can expect them to perform at a high level in the playoffs. It's Dustin Wolf's actually number one since January 1st. So if we were talking about some steam on trophies, if Celebrini wasn't killing it, you know, I'd be looking at Wolf for the Calder. He should certainly be up for the Vezina. But Vasilevsky's there as well, so keep that in mind for the East. So Logan Thompson, Vasilevsky, but out West, Hellebuck's kind of taken a step back in since about January the 1st. But you know, I don't think that there's anybody that I would say that when I watch Ottinger lately, he to me looks like his feet are off. And, sometimes you can see it in the toe caps, especially with the camera view from behind the net. When you watch a replay, you can see their toe caps sometimes shift, and they're losing their squareness. Mackenzie Blackwood, even in the Leaf game, I thought he lost his net on the Marner goal. I thought he lost his net on one of the other goals where, you know, he's on it, but then he takes an extra step. And we're talking about a fraction of an inch because the puck, it's 3 inches in diameter. And if you take that extra step, you lose it. But Ottinger, if he and Blackwood were going to go head-to-head in a series, I think it's a coin flip. I don't feel like anybody has a real advantage there.
So Rantanen aside in Dallas and Brock Nelson aside in Colorado, it's the goalies that will decide, or if they're canceling each other out, it'll be this. Who has the edge now as we match them up?
Let me just say for Dallas, are we sure about a decor of Labushkin, CeCe, Bichelle, Dumba? Like, I know they have Harley and maybe Heiskanen comes back, but...
Oh, no, that's a big maybe. Heiskanen.
Is it? Oh, well, it's a massive maybe. Yeah, no kidding.
I thought he was going to be back.
It's questionable if he's going to be back for the first round. He may he may not make that first round.
Mm, big round.
Big round.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. Look, I think that if there's one thing I can lean on right now, it's that you need to have a D that is, if you're going to, like, I'd rather my team not play off the rush, honestly. I'd rather my team not play off the rush to risk bringing it back the other way. That's where I'm at with that. I want to defend. I want to allow them to and force them to dump it into my zone. We'll get back quick. We'll support. We'll move it out. And I think that if I have to defend in my own zone, I can sort much better. It's an easier save for my goalie. And I think that teams that are willing to pack it in and not risk things offensively to be able to not have that transition against them have the greatest level of, I think, certainty that I would probably at least bet with. I would try and encourage every team that is going to play in the playoffs this year, defense first. And I know that we've been saying that for 20 years. Mm-hmm. And it just, I've never seen offense beat defense. Just the way it is. And that's about insulating the goalie.
And this is a very specific question that I gave you no heads up on, but the Leafs add Brandon Carlo. They haven't had, you know, a guy who kind of fit their puzzle piece this year. Do you like the add of Carlo on the back end? Do the Leafs have a better decor than they've had in years past?
Oh, 10 times. You know, like through the whole season, forget about what's happened in the last couple of weeks, but over the course of this season, this has been the easiest environment for the Toronto goalies over the era of Matthews, Marner, Tavares, Nylander. Mm. It's been the best insulation. And there was 1 year, probably 3 years ago, maybe it was 3 years ago that was close, but this is a well defending a team from at least structure wise in front and big size with Carlo, tougher guy's been through it. Look, I think that sometimes these big D guys, they're more comfortable in the playoffs than the regular season. The regular season's too loose for them sometimes. So I think the tighter it gets, the more the rink shrinks. It's better for the goalies because they have cleaner reads and better for the D because they typically have less distance to travel if everybody packs it in. But I do like the Leafs defending. Mm-hmm. I do.
Speaking of which, Wednesday night, key matchup on our network here at Sportsnet, Calgary and Vancouver. Where do you see this storyline going, especially in net? Clearly, Calgary a lot more, with Wolf there, comfortable. But where is Vancouver, in your mind, holding on to the season and even the future of Demko?
Yeah, Demko, I don't know how I'd feel if I saw my partner get 5-year contract at the dollar in term. It would make me feel a little uneasy about my future there. Demko's injury right now, it's a groin. And the thing about the groin injury, guys, is there are two different types of groin injuries. There's one where it's from a reach, but oftentimes when you're coming back from another injury or in training camp, it's actually a pull. Because every shot you take in practice, and oftentimes it's a lot, you break down during practice. And when you're in your butterfly, one leg comes up first and the other one gets sucked in. And to me, this would happen oftentimes in training camp just from not taking enough butterflies during the summer. But you're always sucking that leg up when you get back up to your feet, even if it's not urgency or it's required quickness. It's really just the idea of getting back up to your feet every time you go down. We had a clock on this back in our Ranger days, guys. We were doing about 300 butterflies every practice. So go down to your knees 300 times and then stand up and suck that right leg in. Yeah, you end up tearing your groin. And that was always my biggest concern starting a season, was my groin, just to get enough reps where it was going to, you know, stretch and heal without a severe tear. Icing and getting into the cold tub. You know, I've said this to you guys before. If a soft tissue to me, it's not something that should be happening in 2025. Soft tissue, that's on the athlete from not taking care of themselves through hydration, rest, and recovery. So for Demko, hey, you know, this is another hurdle for him in a season where, as of today, Vancouver's out. And the reason why Calgary's in is because of Dustin Wolf. Like, this guy, every one-on-one, I was just doing a breakaway project on him yesterday. He had 22 breakaways and 3 goals against.
Whoa.
Since January 1st. Yeah, you know, because, like, he gets these one-on-ones, and he's such a great skater that he can challenge and take away the shot. And every time he finishes on his one-on-ones, he finishes above his post. So his pad, try deking a goalie and elevating it on a goaltender when their pad is finishing in front of the post. You can't get vertical angle. So he's got great, you know, look, he doesn't have great size, but this guy has said this since October. Best skater I've seen. Best skater I've seen.
A lot easier to get up from a butterfly when you're 5'11 instead of 6, whatever you are, Valley.
Well, yeah, me and what about Stolarz too, right?
Yeah.
Was he 240?
You know,
I mean, I'm at my all-time high right now. I thought that I could get away with having 3 to 4 IPAs while I was skiing all week, and I'm barely fitting in my suit. My ass looks like a welcoming mat from a golf course right now.
You know, I was going to ask you, one of my peak resentments as a player was trying to get better as a shooter in practice. And goalies who won't go down, right? They're not trying.
Oh,
because,
yeah.
Because, but you guys are going down 300 times a practice. Like, I don't know what the solution for this is. But yeah, I hated that you could just kind of zip it on the ice and the goalie's like, oh, I'm not going to try on that one.
No. So, you know, a couple things, Borny. If you were a great shooter, you wouldn't have been on my stand-up list. But I certainly did have a stand-up list.
Good to know you had a stand-up list.
And
that hurts.
And most goalies do, okay?
Yeah.
So. And I think that this is the scary thing about being a backup, because I went long when my final exit meeting with the Rangers, it was like, thank you for your service. It's run its course. We didn't play you enough. You know, it's on us. And I'm like, oh, great. That's the end of my NHL
career. That really helps.
Yeah, okay.
Me.
Bye. Right? Yeah.
But the issue was, if you are a backup goalie and you're playing 12 to even 20 games, but you're practicing every day, guess what you're trying to do? You're trying to impress your coach. I got Torts over there in a tracksuit that doesn't want to see any pucks get by me.
Yeah.
So if Borny's a low blocker shooter, all I'm thinking about is preparing as you get to 20 feet from me
right.
for a low blocker shot.
Yeah.
And it's a problem. Like, I said that to Callahan before. I said it to Dubinsky. And those guys would be like, yeah, well, Valley, guess what? In a game, I'm shooting there, so I've got to practice my shot.
Right.
That's my shot.
Yeah.
You know? And I'm like, well, it's not great for me, because now I'm thinking about where you're shooting. And as I said earlier about tracking, like, tracking, guys, you've got to see the goalie really angle in to his save. If it's in neutral, the guy's useless. Like, a big goalie's small. And you're not really tracking off release and through release and rebound if you know where everybody's shooting. So that goes both ways, that conversation, Borny.
Did Valley cover enough Winnipeg for you to qualify for
Jets Talk? We did Jets Talk. Yes.
Well, like, I wanted to get into Jets Talk if we still got time.
Yeah.
Are we tight or well, how?
No, we can't.
Okay.
It's Winnipeg.
Long goodbyes. Okay. Yep.
Go ahead.
Yep.
You want to hear?
Hey,
give us some
Winnipeg.
Is it a long
goodbye? Or are we done, Sammy?
No,
listen. You chirping about long goodbyes.
Listen, I hate long goodbyes.
Give the Jets some love here.
All right, because I thought you guys, you know, over the year listening to you guys, you don't talk about the Jets enough. I don't
That's
know why.
Sammy's fault. He's a producer.
He hates Winnipeg. He said it out loud.
The Leafs on this.
All right, so power play. I did a lot of work on this today preparing for our show tonight, which was kind of neat because they've got the best setup in the NHL. Last year it was Tampa Bay. Tampa Bay with Stamkos and Kucherov, dot and dot, right? So they've got the best setup because they have 45 goals coming out of their setup on the power play on 207 chances, which is by far and away the best shooting percentage. Nobody's even close.
Yeah.
That's a plus 14 out of their setup. So really, if you want to beat the Winnipeg Jets, just don't let them set up. Honestly, they're not going to try you off the rush. Just don't let them set up. Be very aggressive. And spent over an hour looking at this, and I was pretty fascinated with this guy, Gabe Vilardi, because he's the bumper guy, and he's obviously typically going to be there as the safety, a decoy, et cetera. But this guy's moving sticks. He's really good at moving sticks and moving bodies so that Scheifele and Connor can zip it dot to dot on their one-timers. And I thought that was really interesting. And Ehlers, he makes great goal line plays as a one-on-one guy. And the interesting thing about, it's really a pick-your-poison power play. Ehlers and Connor, over the last 4 years, they are two of the highest-rated clear-sighted shot shooters. So walking in on the goalie and beating clean. So when you're up against their power play and they have clean looks, you really have to honor them. And in doing that and trying to get in lanes and block shots, you ultimately can give up the east-to-west pass. Scheifele is the fourth best passer in the NHL from below the goal line and dead angles this year. And that's why that's really helping all of their movement down low and across. So again, if they take away the east-to-west, they can get back to the point. Morrissey as a quarterback. Vilardi's not afraid to screen. Scheifele's not afraid to screen. To me, that is the best. Well, it is the best power play. It's the top ranked power play right now, but it's the best predictive going forward strong power play.
Fantastic stuff.
The process matches the results. That's great.
Yeah.
That's taking Jets Talk to another
level.
Jets Talk.
We need this audio drop, so I don't have to say it every time.
Great defensive team. Last thing on Hellebuck, the reason why this guy is number one for the Vezina, again, it's the defense guys. They expected goals against a 5-on-5 first, off the rush fourth. You know, against in the D zone, seventh, dots down. They've got a great, this is, Borne, I remember you saying this 2 months ago. You could see the Winnipeg Jets winning the Stanley Cup. I can see the Stanley Cup going to Winnipeg.
Woo, buddy.
Fantastic way.
That's talking Jets.
To take Jets Talk to another
that's
level.
That's for David Amber, too. Coming back to Canada with a cup, Amber.
Oh, God.
Valley has always bringing the heat. Thanks for doing this, pal.
Thanks so much,
Valley.
Have
a great night calling Jets Rangers tonight.
Good stuff.
All right. Steve Valiquette.
Yeah, Jets Talk, man. It's getting real.
Jets Talk.
You know, is this a year a weird decor wins the cup? Or is it just going to end up being Vegas and we're like, oh, defense still really matters? Because I told you that Dallas lineup, like there's 4D where you're like, I don't know, CeCe, Labushkin, Bichel, Dumba. Like it's not electric. You know, the Jets have Shen and Fleury as a third pair, Pionk, Sandberg, DeMelo, Morrissey. Like, it's not. It's good. It's good. He just said they're excellent, but it's not. What you think of as like, you know,
would you
Florida's has been or Colorado? Vegas as well. When Colorado won, it was unbelievable.
It's not the sexiest, but it gets the job done because it's disciplined and it's consistent and they're standing in the right place and their sticks are in the right place.
Yeah.
And they're not cheating.
Okay.
And they're not losing positioning.
Or Devin Taves, Cale Makar, Ryan Lindgren, Josh Manson, Sam Girard, and Sam Alinsky, you know, end up winning again.
Yeah.
You know, a group where you're like, oh.
That's why we play the games.
Game time?
Correct.
It's game time, presented by Bet365. Visit the app, latest odds, and find out why it's never ordinary at Bet365, must be 19 plus, Ontario only. Please play responsibly. Good one on our network tonight. The Florida Panthers are in Boston to take on the Bruins. I guess it's, in theory, a good one. You know, the Boston doesn't look quite as like they used to, and one of their captain now plays for the other team. And to
Boston's
be honest,
4 points out of playoffs. Never an axe like they're, you know, San Jose.
To be honest, boys, seeing Marchand skating around wearing the Panthers and taking line rushes with, who was it? Barkov and Verhaeghe. I was like, oh my God, this is the thing, eh?
But don't you like that it probably hurts the Bruins fans? It has to hurt.
Oh yeah, they'll be really hurt when they get to cheer for him beating the Leafs again.
Yeah, that's true.
Anyways, so that one on our network tonight. The Boston Bruins are big underdogs, plus 175. The Florida Panthers minus 210 at the TD Garden. And later on the network as well, Washington Capitals in Anaheim to take on the Ducks. And you may ask me why I am talking about this game. Well, first of all, it's on our network. And second of all, Alexander Ovechkin, the great chase.
He might get eight tonight.
He is in single digits of the all-time goal record. Nine away.
It's heating up.
Do you remember the Ovech trick commercials?
No.
It was a triple hat trick. That was like a Ovech trick. That was like the gag.
I don't remember that.
He could get one of those to win the record.
So it's real now. It's
anyways, I got a feeling he's scoring tonight. Don't know what's going to be on a goalie. Don't know if you can bet on that or not. But it's plus 110 for Alexander Ovechkin. The best odds in the game to get a goal. They know if they're up, which they probably will be. Ducks suck. He's going to get out there. Plus 110 for an Alexander Ovechkin anytime goal tonight.
Well, there's also another way he might get it. He has 17 goals this season. Mm. How many empty netters? How many of them are empty netters?
17. He's got more than 17 goals.
Does he?
I think he has 17 empty netters.
No. Ovechkin. All right. How many does he have this year? Whatever. How many empty netters do you think he has?
17, because you said it by accident.
It's not 17. No.
I want to say 6.
No, he has 8 empty net goals this season. Right. 33 goals this year. That's right. Yes. 17 assists. 33 goals, 8 empty netters.
But so he just single-handedly put the record next year with 17
yeah,
goals.
Yeah, that's true.
He just shut everything down.
And I think if I'm just quickly pulling it up here, you can bet on him still not to get the record this year.
What are those odds?
So career goal. Yeah, I'm looking it up here. Alexander Ovechkin to score 895 goal, not to happen in the 24-25 regular season is plus 165. So
that's not good, is it?
No, it's not enough juice for me.
And then you go and look at the schedule against Columbus, against New York, against Carolina, where it falls in the schedule. But if you don't think it's going to happen, you can still get plus money on that, and that might change tonight if he gets a couple goals. Anyways, that was game time. Visit my Bet365, visit the app for latest odds, and find out why it's ever ordinary at Bet365. Must be 19 plus. Ontario only. Please play responsibly.
You know, that Capitals team, I think a lot of people, myself obviously included, have been skeptical of how good they really are, right?
I bought in months ago.
You did, eh?
I did, yeah.
Well, the thing that they really have going for them, their path in that metro is just way softer than some of these other paths. They're going to get Columbus or, Ottawa or...
I'm with a lot of, I think Jim Ralph in our first hour, I'm not even sure, was it Valley moments ago? It's just, it's too hard to tell now that if you got a Columbus and they're coming in with some momentum, it's just not a given anymore.
It's not a given, Kip. You'd rather play them than Florida or Tampa.
I get it. I get it. I get that part. But there's ways of these type of teams now that can come in and get hot at the right time and find themselves in a conference final.
Well, and it's not just get hot at the right time. And this is kind of what I was asking Valley about. Let's say you're a team who doesn't think you're very good in the Metro. You're Carolina, you're New Jersey. The other teams are struggling too. Like, New Jersey is decimated by injuries. But because no one's good behind them, they're going to finish in that 2-3 spot. Carolina could beat them with Stankoven, and all of a sudden, there's some weak teams.
Yeah. No, I definitely see.
And paths for some teams to be like, oh, we actually did okay and didn't think we were that good.
Definitely see that.
It's there for you.
Okay, we're going to take a quick break. Nice job, Sammy. And when we return, we'll get into a few news and notes, including...
Darlene.
Well, you just gave away.
Well, you said you needed me to carry you today. You're tired. You weren't spitting it out.
All right. Our good buddy here at Sportsnet shows up every once in a while, Paul Bissonnette.
No.
Kind of ticked off the Buffalo Sabres captain.
With a truth bomb.
We'll get into that when we return to Real Kipper and Bourne.
Dive deep into Toronto sports and the NFL. The J.D. Bunkus Podcast. Subscribe and download the show on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back to the program. Nick Kipper, Justin Bourne, Sammy McKee. All right, so what did Biz Nasty say that's got the Buffalo Sabres up in arms?
Let's find out, Sammy.
I listened to the clip from his wildly popular Spittin' Chitlets podcast, and he said that that Rasmus Dahlin had a face-to-face meeting with the general manager of the Buffalo Sabres, mm-hmm. Kevin Adams, mm-hmm. and I quote, "If you don't turn this around, I am Gonzos."
Gonzos.
That's what Viz said.
Hell, I'm Gonzos. So
and then he proceeded to sing at the end of it a song I'm blanking on right now. But hey, goodbye.
Anyway.
Yeah, there it is. Thank you.
Da-na-na-na.
Yeah. Goodbye.
I think you were terrible.
Okay. Like, do you really see now?
Okay. What's going on with you? Okay.
Rasmus, what,
is this the na-na-na-na?
Well, you can't sing there, Tom Petty. Let's go. Come on.
I'm smart enough to not try it.
Oh, yeah.
Do you really see Rasmus now marching into Kevin Adams' office and saying, do you know who I think I am right now? I'm Rasmus Dahlin, who's played less than 500 games and has zero playoff games in his career.
Hey, Kip, not sure if you've been paying attention to the league, but guys get 10 schmil before the hat. Rasmus makes 11. He's the captain. Check out the Ottawa Senators and some of theirs, guys.
If that was true, I couldn't kick him out of my office fast enough. If that's true.
What if he does it? They're dying.
I can't see it. I'm sorry. I'm not calling Biz's report inaccurate. I have no idea. I just can't see that.
This guy's got 51 points in 55 games this year. He had a 73-point season.
Never seen the light of day in the playoffs.
Yeah.
Do you want to hear from him?
Yes.
Because he responded to this. We have two separate clips, so we'll play the first one, then react, then we'll play the second one. So go if you play the first one for us, Austin, clip one.
There's a clip circulating on social media from the Spit and Chicklets podcast that said, if you guys don't figure this out soon, you want to be moved. Is that accurate?
Who?
Paul Bissonnette.
Who wants to be moved?
You.
I want to be moved?
You said you asked, you told Adams.
That I want to be gone from Buffalo? No, change. I don't know what he's talking about. I've never said I want to out of here. I'm not happy where we're at. I don't want to lose. We have to get better. But I've never said I want out of here. I thought that was pretty clear.
I don't know.
Is that it?
What, did I want out? I mean, we're not very good.
What do you think, Sam?
We need to be good.
Who's lying?
Let's play the second clip and then we'll go on from there, okay? Clip two, please.
I mean, we have to do a lot of stuff. But, you know, it takes everyday work. You got to do hard work every day. And, you know, we had a really good discussion. We were very honest with each other. Stuff has to change. That's how it is. And I absolutely hate losing. I don't think that's a part of who I want to be. So, you know, stuff has to change.
So you would definitely say that podcast from Bissonnette is false. I just
know. Yeah, I mean, I don't even, that bugs me, actually. I get pissed off by that. I haven't even mentioned the word leave, so yeah, that's just how it is.
So, I mean, you've said many times you're in this for the long haul.
That's good. You can cut it out. I never said I wanted to leave. I said I wanted to go.
I said Gonzo.
Hearing that clip,
There's no question there was a meeting. There's no question he's frustrated. There's no question he'd like to see some changes. I think that goes with any top player on any team, on any given conversation.
And captains have access to those people.
I totally believe Biz.
Oh, I mean, totally. I do too, but I don't think, you know, he says, we have to do this, we have to do that. He's stopping short of saying, or else, if you remember, It's Always Sunny, the implication is there.
Yeah.
We have to. He didn't. I doubt he said it.
There's no question that.
But there's a lingering or else.
There's a world where Buffalo is very well acquainted with Jack Eichel. And those type of conversations, I'm sure, went on. And poof, he's in Vegas. Mm-hmm. So
they just did it literally not even a week ago with Cousins.
So
already scored for Ottawa, by the way.
There is a world where Biz knows where these conversations can happen here.
Yeah.
But I cannot see at this point of the season that I'm going to address that we need to make changes. That conversation, if you told me that conversation happened July, middle of July, at the draft, I go, yeah, I could see that. But for him to do it now or a week ago or two weeks ago at this point of the season,
it's over.
It's not a in-season conversation you're going to have about your future. To me, I don't buy it. That's all.
Yeah, fair enough. I mean, you acknowledge that they had a conversation, whether he directly said it or not. I think
the implication,
it's they're on notice that he wants to be a winner.
It's funny. I was thinking like, oh my God, Bill Simmons used to do this column called the trade value list.
Yeah.
He still does it a little bit in the NBA. And I was thinking to myself, oh, where would Rasmus Dahlin be in that? Like, it feels like he'd be really high.
24, captain, point per game, D-man.
He already makes $11 million.
I know.
That is a huge contract for a defenseman. Like, you think of all the premier, is he the highest paid defenseman in the league? Like,
he's up there.
Like, think of all the premier guy. Like, Makar doesn't make close to that.
Carlson might make more.
Or Doughty makes a ton.
11.
Who does he?
11.
It's just,
yep.
That's a big ticket.
As a reminder, this hour, Real Kipper and Bourne, brought to you by Bet365. Speaking of those Sabres, big win against the Edmonton Oilers.
Yes. By the way, the Sabres decor makes $32.5 million. I wonder if any other decor makes that.
32?
Yeah.
What place are they in?
32nd. 32 for 32.
What's going on?
Sorry. Yes, they beat the Oilers.
Oilers still got some concerns.
Yeah. Yeah, I was reading a little bit.
Skinner didn't look good on the first goal, I believe.
Yeah.
He doesn't look very good.
Tough one on Bouchard there at the end. Thompson makes a great play. Skinner's not to blame for that one. But, you know, this Oilers roster has a couple of holes. They have the highest of highs, and they have some soft spots. It kind of depends what matchups they draw.
Wallman, I think, has kind of looked good. And from what I've seen, he can skate. He handles the puck. He can make a great pass, heads-up passes. Like, there is some value there. It should settle in nicely here.
Can I ask you, because I'm starting to get the feeling here, that the switch, I feel like they can flip it.
Yeah, I do too. Absolutely.
I really do think that there's a bit of a malaise here, and there's enough that we've seen them have success in the playoffs. They've gone deep enough. They went last year, the seventh, but even before that, they're winning rounds. I just feel like it's a natural progression for a team that's in a bit of a rut before they know what's about to come. Mm-hmm. They know probably who they're going to play in the first round. I do think there's a bit of a malaise, and I do think that they're going to flip the switch.
LA.
I do.
Right?
Yeah. I mean, they'll just get their first round bye like every year.
Yeah, the Kings got to be like, come on. Come on.
Oh, it's coming again.
But it was Brownie who came on with us, Rob Brown, who we love from Edmonton, and said the one year that Edmonton finally got Dallas in those years, and they played every single year. It may happen eventually, but I think they're going to flip the switch and they're going to be dominant again in the playoffs.
Yeah,
they really got
that high-end offense, and I don't mind Kulak, Bouchard, Nurse, Wallman.
Wallman's Spetcher, a good pickup.
Emerson's been grouping great.
Yeah, and Ekholm's been banged up, so I do have confidence in them to flip it. So there. Oilers talk.
Oilers talk.
Canucks talk? Can we do positive Canucks talk?
Quinn Hughes. Coming back soon, possibly.
Maybe.
He's progressing, and he could surprise us any time when he's ready to go. I'm not saying he's going to be in the lineup tomorrow. It's coming. I just don't know when.
We know what it is. It's a
oblique injury.
Those aren't fun.
You need the summer to get that thing right back to
Injured healed. Feb 22nd. Hurt again against Seattle on March 1st, and he's missed last three games. Oblique is one that, I think it's okay.
It's just...
I had it.
It shut me down.
Here's what I'll say. This is a cross-sport reference, which our listeners always love. Brett Laurie always used to get obliques for the Jays.
Yeah.
And he'd be like, in spring training, oblique, and then you'd see him in like July.
Yeah.
So they take time,
It shut down my chance at a 20-goal, 325-penalty-minute season. I only would have been a handful of guys that have
20
ever done
and 300 that. Is crazy.
I know.
Yeah. Stupid oblique.
Paul got me. All right. Just like that, 2 hours gone. And we've solved nothing.
Not a thing.
Our thanks to Jim Ralph in the first hour. And then Steve Aliquette at the top of the hour. Enjoy your games tonight. If you get a chance, give us a rating and review. Follow us on YouTube. We're back tomorrow. Real Kipper and Bourne.